B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alrighty, from the Town Fair Tire Studio here in picturesque Dorchester, Mass. Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 Sports of simulcast NBC Sports. Boston undermanned show today. No Mike, no Mass. Instead, you have me, Big Jim Murray, in the a-hole chair. Matt McCarthy in the Mass chair, also handling updates. And of course, we have Jimmy Stewart and Billy Lanny behind the glass, manning the mothership.
That'd be Jeremy Conley.
Oh, my apologies. No Lanny today. Jeremy Conley. And Jimmy Stewart.
Billy Lanny is co-hosting with Marshall Hook tonight on the nighttime show.
Oh, damn. All right. Well, that's going to be must listen. Lanny getting more airtime. I love it.
I love it, too.
Agenda-free Friday, by the way. So we'll be leaning on you, the people, at 617-779-0985. Agenda-free Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now. Bernardi for life. BernardiAutoGroup.com. As we usually do on an agenda-free Friday, we have our opening takes to open the show. McCarthy, hi, how are you, baseball boy?
I'm doing well. In fact, with the radio dads away, I am going to engage you in a pleasantry. I'm doing well. I hope you are doing well, too.
I am as well. Yes, a tad hungover, thanks to going to Kowloon last night. Saw Jimmy Stewart there as well, and Joe Murray, another 98.5 alum, and I'm still feeling it because I don't drink rum that often, and when I do, oh, boy, it hits the head.
Mai Tais, they're good.
So why don't you start with your opening take there, McTakey, while I try to get, underway here.
All right, I see how it is. You get the wipe down. Yeah. You're on the show, I understand. I would like to open with just a thought on the state of John Henry's soccer team. I can't believe I just said that. Yes, a thought on John Henry's soccer team.
Liverpool.
Compared to the state of John Henry's baseball team. All right, so if you were paying attention, Liverpool won the English Premier League yesterday, which I guess is a big deal in the soccer world.
By not playing, too.
Right, exactly.
Which is the most soccer thing ever.
They John Farrell Red Sox backed their way into the English Premier League title. Now, they had like a 20-point lead. I understand why that works. Don't at me, soccer fans. But I was just casually thinking, okay, that's a good team. I can name a few players on Liverpool. Mohamed Salah, Sadio Mane, Shaqiri, not Shakira. I can name her too. But Shakira, good players, right? And I'm just like a really casual soccer fan. Do I really care about the sport? No. And then I thought about the Red Sox starting rotation, and I literally cannot name five starters on the Boston Red Sox. I can name probably more players on the Liverpool Football Club, John Henry's soccer team, than I can in John Henry's baseball team and the starting rotation. I host a podcast called Hardcore Baseball, Jim. If I can't name pitchers and members of the Red Sox pitching staff, if I feel like I could name more members of the Liverpool soccer team compared to the Red Sox pitching staff, what does that say about A, the state of baseball in this country, and B, more importantly, the state of John Henry's baseball team? I think it's pretty clear where the interest has been. You know, we see him get rid of Mookie Betts and David Price for salary purposes only. He's spending God knows how much money on Liverpool. I think it's like $136 million, which is a lot, for soccer purposes. Where's the interest in the Red Sox? And I'm not the first person to bring this up, but seriously, when you look at the way that that team is run compared to the way that the Red Sox are run, the Boston Devil Rays, Chaim Bloom brought in to run essentially a low-rent, shoestring budget operation, and when you look at the way that Liverpool is being run and compared to that, it's just striking. So if you're a Red Sox fan, you should be kind of pretty upset about the state of the team across the pond compared to the state of the team here, because it's two entirely different worlds.
Yeah, Mike asked Maz the rotation and the starting lineup day one the other day. And, you know, look, I mean, the names like Bogarts, Devers, there's recognizable names, obviously. But anyway, when he went to second base, I was like, huh, who? Same with Mike.
Jose Peraza.
And outside of the first three starters, Rodriguez, Evaldi, and Martin Perez.
Ugh.
And even I'm not going to pretend to even know who the hell Martin Perez is. But
he blows. That's what you need to know.
But 4-5, like, I'm with you. Who? So right. It's just going to be these Rays-like bullpen games? Is that what we're looking at?
Right. And listen, that's work for the Rays, but you're the Boston Red Sox. You shouldn't be run. And this has been my point all along, Jim. You want to be creative. You want to be innovative. The way they were under Theo Epstein. They were creative and innovative, and they were, you know, doing a lot of the things that a lot of small market teams did. But they ran that operation still like a big market operation. Yeah. And it feels like in the last year they have transitioned from a big market operation to a small market operation. And listen, small market teams are creative in baseball and they do a really good job and all those things. You should want to emulate some of those things because they've been successful doing those things. Just still run it like a big market operation. Like literally every decision they've made in the last year, finances have come at the top of the list. It's been the reason they've made every single decision when it comes to constructing the baseball team. It has nothing to do with anything else other than the finances. And to me, that's gross.
It is. They're high society. The Red Sox, like the Yankees, like there's certain franchises in professional sports, you know, you shouldn't be slumming it. And this year, even with the shortened season, even if it was the 162, they're slumming it. It's kind of gross.
Of course they are.
I want to open with something I can't let go of. And it's further proof to me as how I know we're doomed as a society and we're living in the dumbest time in recorded history. Yesterday, one of the stories in the headlines that I had was the retirement of one of the great dunkers of all time, Vince Carter. And with that story came the additional information, literally from the NBA, that Carter is going to retire as the only player in NBA history to take the floor in four, count them, four different decades. The 90s, the aughts, the 2010s, the 2020s. It's a hell of an achievement, and it's a hell of a career for the guy that we once referred to as half man, half amazing. Thank you very much, Pete Rock. Then the story, McCarthy, took an unfortunate and mind-numbingly stupid turn. I don't know if you followed me on Twitter here in the last
yesterday.
Day or so.
Yes.
Yeah. I started to get chirped during the show by a few people on Twitter how it was impossible that Vince Carter actually played in four decades and that it was actually three because decades don't begin until the year ending in beginning in one. They don't begin until, you know, it's so 1990s.
Right.
Would start
begins
in
1991 and ends in 2000. Like the new millennium started in 2001 instead of the year 2000.
And right now we're living in 2020, but the 20s don't begin until 2021. And it being Twitter, which of course is a venomous sewer that's as unhealthy as it is stupid, I did yesterday around this time chalk it up to a few random morons just doing a bit. Oh, we're doing bits. It's Twitter. It's trolling for trolling's sake because that's all it seemingly takes place on there. But as it turns out, Matt McCarthy, I was wrong. As it turns out, no, there is actually a segment of this idiotic country that legitimately believes, as fact, that decades begin with the year beginning, ending in one, rather. So again, 2020, 20s don't begin until 2021. I found a YouGov survey, I've posted this on Twitter, a YouGov survey taken just last year. 17% of the people in the United States think this is fact. 17%. They're calendar truthers. This is actually a segment of society. Calendar truthers. It turns out it's actually a thing, and we are doomed, Matt. I used to think, in these recent years, I thought maybe 5, 8% tops of this country was legitimately stupid, susceptible to misinformation, crazy conspiracy theories. But the last 24 hours and arguing for the decade starting at one in my Twitter feed, I have so sadly underestimated the stupidity in this country and that figure. 17% that were polled last year believe this to be fact. And the arguments that you people keep trying to make, there's no year zero. First, try to tell that to the Khmer Rouge, going back, read your history, or the commies currently trying to burn this country down that want to start it at year zero. Secondly, you might not start counting at zero. The decade does, you idiots. By this logic, and this is how I got you, one of these calendar truthers would have you believe, Matt McCarthy, Empire Strikes Back, that was released in 1980.
Yes.
But to them, it's one of the highest grossing and best movies of the 1970s.
Of the 70s.
That one of my favorite albums, as I pointed out on Twitter yesterday, Outkast's Aquemini, Stankonia, which came out in fall of 2000, one of the better rap albums of the 1990s. And that Prince, rest his tiny purple soul, should rise from the dead and change the lyrics to 1999 to something like 2001, keep it going, yay, one more year. You people are idiots. It starts at 2000. It starts in 1980. It starts in 1990. You calendar truthers are the worst. Of course. Like, it's just, again, it's so 2020 that everything is just stupider by the minute, the day. Jimmy, what's the line that you keep using on this very show?
Every day is worse than the last, and we're never getting out of this.
We're doomed. It's why I pray every day for the asteroid. You calendar truthers. It wasn't just a bit. It wasn't just arguing for arguing's sake. It wasn't just a troll job. That's an actual segment of population here in this country. Calendar truthers, take your L. You're either being a contrarian for contrarian's sake, or you're a complete and utter moron. And it's clearly the latter with the way that we are as a society now. I couldn't let this go. I saw it yesterday. Like I said, put it in the headlines. I'm like, no, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, 2020s. Vince Carter. The NBA acknowledges this. That's all. Period. End of story. You're wrong. They're right. I'm right. Take your L. 617-779-0985.
Can I admit something, Jim?
Are you one of these people? You flat earth idiot?
I'm not a flat earth idiot. I believe many things. I do not believe the flat earth theory. I do kind of believe this.
Oh, Matt, Jesus, make your case here then. Like, is it?
Listen, I don't. You have a much stronger case. Do I feel strongly about this? Absolutely not. Have I put one iota of a memory of a thought into this since the year 2000? No, but I remember sitting there right before the year 2000. We've got Y2K going on. My grandfather, God rest his soul, the most brilliant, genius man I've ever met. He was a chemical engineer, Princeton graduate. Like, I mean, you would be blown away by his intellect. He was sitting there and he said, yeah, just to let you know, the calendar, the new millennium actually doesn't start till 2001. So I just accepted it as fact. Now, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do some more research on this. So I'm not going to engage you in a discussion, but I have, for the last 20 years, since he said that to me, little, you know, 8-year-old Matt McCarthy sitting there getting ready to celebrate the new millennium. Maybe he was just trying to screw with me. He probably was.
No, because I found the people that are chirping at me and saying I'm wrong about this are one or two things, and you fall into one of these categories. They're either, you know, mathemagicians, like your grandfather was, rest his soul, or they're millennials or young idiots.
Right.
And this is why I also, while praying for the asteroid,
I'm a millennial and a young idiot. Yeah, I got it.
I pray for the draft, okay, too. What you people need is to get you know what you need? It'd be sent to the front lines. That'll learn you.
That's right.
And instead of a weapon, you're given an iPad because that's all you know.
That'll teach me.
Yeah. Oh,
it'll be
God,
an educational moment.
My poor wife had to deal with this conversation last night. I'm like, oh, have you heard of calendar truthers?
Poor Jasmine.
Calendar truthers. Oh, no, it's a real thing. I couldn't let it go. And so talk sports. Well, it stemmed from a sports thing. Vince Carter, only player in NBA history to retire having played in four decades, you morons, 90s, aughts, 10s, 20s. Well, it doesn't start till 2021. Oh, you people are the worst. The absolute worst.
I'm sorry for my people, Jim.
I couldn't let it go. 617-779-0985. Again, undermanned show today. It's Jim Murray in the A-hole chair, Matt McCarthy in the mass chair also doing updates, Chris Gasper of WCBB Channel 5 will also join us 4-ish. I'll never say 4 o'clock on the nose because it's Gasper. He's always fashionably late.
Chris, leave now. Traffic is bad. Leave now.
Yes. And whatever you'd like to discuss from the week, there's some Patriot stuff I want to get to. I mean, McCarthy, I haven't seen you in a little while, so I want you to unload on what's happened this week. You're pumped getting your baseball back there, baseball boy. What happened with Bubba Wallace in the noose fiasco in Alabama from this week. So whatever you'd like to touch on, we will hear from you at 617-779-0985 on an agenda-free Friday here on Felger and Mass.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mazz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mazz.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 Sports, of simulcast NBC Sports Boston for the second consecutive Friday. It's the summertime now. Vacations are going to be happening. You got yours truly, Big Jim Murray, in the A-hole chair. And for Mike, it's Matt McCarthy in for Maz, and technically me in my normal role, too. He'll be doing the updates. And we want to hear from you on an agenda-free Friday, 617-779-0985. First, though, with McCarthy being here, he the host of the Hardcore Baseball Podcast, 98.5 Sports Hub, and maybe the biggest baseball fan I know. How you feel about your sports being back there, baseball boy?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's perfect. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that we discussed this for 3 months and finally came to an agreement. God, it's been an awful 3 months for the sports. It's been terrible, Jim. I mean, every other sport didn't seem to have this issue, right? And sure, baseball eventually came up with their plan, but not without damaging the sport and burning it to the ground and peeing on the ashes in the middle of the whole process. So, I mean, I don't know how you can feel good about a baseball fan. I'm happy that my slow, awful product of a sport will be back theoretically at the end of July, but nothing has happened to fix the game at this point. In fact, the game has only been damaged by this. I think baseball eventually can get back on the right track if they, you know, fix pace of play, if the players and the owners get on the same page and all of those things, but none of that happened from the last 3 months. So I think it's hard to feel good about the state of the sport right now. I mean, I guess it's better than the sport shutting down, but it's not that much better because the product's still probably going to be awful. And, you know, we just spent 3 months talking about financial issues and labor negotiations at a time where one-fifth of the country is out of work and the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. So it's hard to feel great about the state of my sport, Jim.
But you know, still, you're a seam head at heart. Are you happy it's at least coming back, even if it is just 60 games? Do you think there's going to be a level of urgency you haven't seen before because it's only 60 games? Will it basically leave it wide open for just about anybody because it's such a quick sprint? Like,
no,
I still think the game is mostly going to be interminable, and you're right, going to be looking at three and a half hour games. But it's interesting because outside of like real garbage teams like the Marlins and Orioles, this thing does feel wide open.
Yeah, it does. And that's what I really like about it. I'm going to like the 60-game sprint. I think it's going to be good to see baseball in a different, just in a different light. And I think overall that is one of the few good things that has come out of this. And of course, it was beyond their control. So I'm not going to give Major League Baseball and the Players Association credit for this. This was the hand they're dealt. But it will be good to see baseball and see a game in August that you actually feel like matters, because it's going to feel like the majority of these games will matter because it's a 60-game sprint. And just speaking as somebody who cares deeply about the Boston Red Sox, this is good for them. I mean, their pitching staff is abject ass, as I laid out.
But they'll rake.
But they'll rake. They can hit. And you know what? They may be able to hide that pitching staff for a while. I think it's going to be good for the game. I think it'll be wide open. The problem is, Jim, like, this will be a one-off thing. And let's say we all like it. Well, then 2021's going to roll around, and it's going to go back to 162, and you're going to have that problem all over again. So while it may help the sport very, very little bit in the short term, there are no long-term fixes here, and I think they only hurt the sport long-term, which is what I'm most concerned about as somebody who cares deeply about baseball.
The Red Sox having a chance annoys me, though, because it does, and given that...
They don't deserve it.
Well, it's just that simple. They don't. And given this offseason and how they handled everything and botched the Mookie Betts thing and then talked to the fan base as like they're a bunch of five-year-olds, like they don't deserve to be able to compete this year. I mean, good for the players. And
yeah,
I still like Devers and Bogarts and some of the guys on that team. But as an organization, like, they absolutely positively do not deserve to be in contention this year.
No.
And because of the abbreviated schedule, they will.
Yeah, and again, it's because every single one of the decisions they've made over the last year, Jim, has had nothing to do with baseball. It's had entirely to do with
money
and finances, and that I find gross as a Red Sox fan. The 60-game schedule helps them. Now all of a sudden the Mookie Betts trade doesn't look as bad because, well, he's probably only going to play 60 games for the Dodgers if we even play baseball in 2020, which I'm still not convinced about with everything that's going on in the country, you know, when it comes to the pandemic. But yeah, somehow the Red Sox like start winning that trade now. They needed like a once in a 100-year event to help them out somehow. Like,
no, it's crazy.
It just goes to show you what a train wreck and a dumpster fire that organization is.
And quickly on the rule changes, universal DH, runner on second and extras. Do you like any of this?
I hate the universal DH.
Me too.
But I'm a traditionalist. But I also think in the National League, the game just moves along. So
yeah,
I think now is not the time to have a universal DH. I've been opposed to the runner on second base thing because, I mean, that feels like club level softball at college. But you know what? It's a 60-game season. Try it. It might be fun, and at least that'll give us something to talk about the night after a game and say, hey, should the manager have bunted there? You know, should they have moved the runner over? Should they have hit away? Like, When was the last time we actually had something like that to talk about in the game? So I'm all for that. Now's the time to try it. And I say this as a traditionalist, a purist, somebody who is, I guess, traditionally resistant to some changes in baseball. Throw it at the wall. See what works. Because you know what? We might watch this and say, wow, this is the best thing to happen to baseball, that runner on second thing. That's great.
Yeah,
who knows?
The game needs some interesting changes that'll make it a little more compelling and that will help speed it up. And I think that the runner on second and extras does that. I'm with you on the DH thing, though. I mean, the National League, like, it's always just been kind of cool that you have the occasional guy like a Madison Bumgarner that can actually hit and hit for power as a pitcher, and it helps speed the game along.
Yep.
You know, the National League doesn't need the DH. Drew in Bridgewater, you're first up here on an Agenda-Free Friday on Felger and Mass. Hello, Drew.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Matt, I just wanted to make a point. I'm a more than casual soccer fan, I'd say. And it's incredibly demoralizing as someone who supports another club in the Premiership and the Red Sox to watch Henry and the Fenway Sports Group go out and spend big money on Jurgen Klopp, their coach, and they have what is arguably the best center back in the world. And it's sort of interesting to me. Do you guys think that Henry doesn't think there are fans in Massachusetts that pay attention to other sports and he's willing to throw so much money at the wall? Thanks for taking my call, guys. Happy Friday.
Thanks, Drew. Well, Matt, I'll let you handle that one.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a casual soccer fan, so I'm not going to be able to tell you the, I guess, the financial implications of the Premier League, but all I did today was just look up that Liverpool roster and be like, oh, well, they're paying Salah a lot of money. And, like, I know these guys. They're big-name players. Mm-hmm. Salah, the center back, I believe he's mentioning, is Van Dijk. Like, he's a really, really good player. I'm like, well, they're obviously paying for this. They had the highest payroll in the Premier League last year, and that's what we saw John Henry do here for 15 years, owning the Red Sox. Like, money generally was never a problem for John Henry. It's been in the last year that money has been a problem for him, and that's what I find frustrating. It's like, okay, you went out there and spent your money for the last 15 years, and rarely have we ever been complaining about your willingness to spend, but for the first time ever, it seems like now you're just pushing away and saying, not anymore. That's what I have a problem with. If you don't want to spend money on your baseball team, that's fine. Sell your baseball team. You spent money on your baseball team for the last 15 years. I'm not going to knock you. He's been the best owner in the history of the Red Sox. But I'm going to knock you for what he's done lately. And what he's done lately is making every single decision based solely on finances. That's not the John Henry that I remember. And that's not the Boston Red Sox that we've seen for the last 15 years. So you want to go spend your money on your soccer team? You want to go pay Mo Salah? That's fine. Go do it. Go win Premier League titles. Go win the Champions League. That's fine. Let somebody else run the Red Sox if they're going to spend the money.
Archie in Maine with a baseball follow-up here on an Agenda-Free Friday. Hey, Archie.
Hey, how you doing, Jim?
Good. What's up?
Why don't we make the season no interleague play? We only got a 60-game season. We got a month to redo the schedule. And if we just keep the AL playing AL, you know, go 24 in the division.
Matt, what do you think of this? So it's going to be AL East, NL East, and that's it, really, as far as the Red Sox are concerned. Should it just be American League? I mean, you have to think of the travel and the proximity. It's and keeping in mind the pandemic. Like, I get where the caller's coming from, but you got to just keep it to this area.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with them playing the National League. I don't think interleague problem is a problem for baseball. Like, people are like, well, interleague baseball is destroyed the sport. No, the quality of play, the pace of play, that's what's hurting them. I don't care if the Red Sox are playing the Phillies, you know, more than they normally would play the Phillies. Like, who cares? In fact, I think it's almost good because you've got traditional baseball markets. You've got the Mets, the Yankees, the Phillies, the Red Sox. They're all going to play each other. I think that's probably good for baseball. I don't know. It's just, I don't think that's something we should be focusing on as baseball fans.
Where do, who do the Red Sox have to be concerned with besides the obvious in the Yankees, the reigning champion Nationals? Are the Phillies a concern? I mean, like, all I know is they have Aaron Nola in that rotation. Other than that, I probably couldn't name anybody else. But they were all right last year.
Yeah.
Like, where are they ultimately a middler?
Well, I think there are two lambs that the Red Sox are going to get to beat up on.
And, well, it's critical.
And the Marlins and the Orioles. They need to beat up on those two teams. And again, it's a 60-game season, so you can't have an off series against one of those teams, because if you have an off series against the Orioles or the Marlins, that might be the difference between you making the playoffs and you not making the playoffs. So those are the two lambs. I think they're, you know, you look at the Phillies, you look at the Blue Jays, like, those are teams that could go either way. You know, there's some young talent on both of those clubs. So, you know, where do the Red Sox fit in? I think the Red Sox kind of fit in right in the middle of this division. So I think it will be competitive if you want to look at it as a 10-team division. Where are they? Fifth, sixth, with a chance to be third or fourth, or a chance to be seventh or eighth? Like, there are a lot of teams bunched up in the middle there, and I think the Red Sox are squarely right in there with the Blue Jays, the Phillies, and teams like that.
Well, I know McCarthy. I don't think it's a stretch of my imagination to say that you are strongly concerned about the COVID, yes?
Oh, yes.
All right. So I want to know how you feel about Tom Brady essentially sticking his ass right in your face, saying, like, COVID.
It's been lovely. Thank you, Jim.
I ain't afraid of no COVID. We'll get to that coming up after the Sports Up headlines here with Matt McCarthy with more of your phone calls here on an agenda-free Friday on Felger and Mass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Agenda-free Friday here in Felger and Mass. Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy in for Mike and Tony. So, Matt, I think it's fair to say, scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a shrug, 10 being straight-up paranoia, I am never going to leave my house again. When it comes to coronavirus, you're like a hard 7.
Yeah, hard 7's probably a good place to be.
Where I'm at 5.5, depending on the day. 5-ish. 5-ish. I take it more seriously than I did when it first started. I egg on my face. If it gets me, it gets me. Probably just the flu. Whoops. Whoop. Believe me, wish I was right about that, but ended up wrong. But oh well. But you're a hard 7. Certainly concerned about it, and that's understandable. So I wonder then, Matt McCarthy, how do you feel about former Patriots quarterback, now Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback, Tom Brady, out and about, just bending the rules, I guess, for lack of a better term. He's out there with Rob Gronkowski and Chris Godwin and other Buccaneers teammates and working out where the NFLPA doctor, their Fauci, I guess you want to call him, I forget the guy's name, but said, you know, it's best if you don't hold these kind of workouts. Everyone kind of go their separate ways for now, especially, I would think, down in Orange County and in Florida, where the numbers are spiking uncontrollably. Brady's still out there, and in fact, really kind of had a bit of a middle finger, I think, for those that are tisking when he posts on his Instagram story yesterday, chugging from a TB12 water bottle, of course, in his Bucks practice jersey. Only thing we have to fear is fear itself, the quote from FDR from when he was inaugurated back in the 30s, right?
Yeah, 32.
How does that make you feel? You get irked by that?
Not really. I'll put it this way. Am I irked by Tom Brady working out, you know, doing the Tom Brady thing, being the hardest working guy in the NFL? No, because I think that's who we've seen Tom Brady is for, well, the better part of the last 20 years. Not the last 2 years in New England, but I guess that's another story. Would I be working out in Florida right now? No, probably not. Would I suggest maybe he go somewhere else, maybe somewhere a little safer? Would I suggest that he take precautions? Yes, of course. But am I going to get on the guy for doing his job, trying to do his job the same way that I think a lot of people are trying to do their job? We're 6 feet apart here. We're still here. We're trying to do our job. No, I'm not going to criticize anybody trying to do their job, and hopefully they're just doing it safely, okay? Right? What I am going to criticize Tom Brady for is the promotion around it and the way that he's handled this on social media. And yes, now sticking his ass in the face of people who are saying, well, maybe you should be a little bit more careful. Well, Tom, the only reason people know that you're out there working out with all these guys in the middle of Florida is because you're broadcasting it to the world. You are promoting it as much as you possibly can. And why are you promoting it? You're promoting it to sell me your stupid quack science TB12 stuff, your stupid immunity project product, your stupid anything, your $150 bag of nuts. That's why you're doing this. You're blasting this out there to the world so you can show these pictures and then all of a sudden just slide a little image of that immunity product in there. That's why you're doing this. So no, I've got no problem with people pushing back against Tom Brady, and I do have a problem with him pushing back against us for criticizing him for it. Because, dude, all you're trying to do is sell me something. That's my issue. I've got a problem with the way he's promoting it, not with the fact that he's actually doing it.
Yeah, it is sleazy that he slips totally in with some of these photos that he's putting on his Instagram story. All of a sudden, like, you hit a, you know, you tap it again, and it's all protect.
Right.
Find it at TB12. And it's like, this is just profiteering, dude. And I said it at the time when he first introduced this stuff at, what is it, $49.99 a pop. Mm-hmm. This is no different to me than someone going down to a hurricane or earthquake ravaged area and then selling generators for double or triple the price.
Right. Like, bottled just, water, whatever
yeah,
you want.
It's gross. But on the other hand, as a Brady fan and Brady Bobo, oh, I love it because it's so coming from a place of spite, too. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, Bill. You didn't want me anymore, and now I'm going to try again, which I'm into. Like, right. And I know, oh, look, yeah. The guy who's normally in this chair, I can understand it, and anyone that wants to argue, like, it's gross that Brady essentially half-assed it here these last few seasons. Now, I, as someone who also operates with the power of spite and who is a long-term bridge burner, I get it. You know, when you've checked out mentally, well, yeah, that's when you start putting onions in the ceiling, like I once did right. at WFNX.
I thought it was a tuna salad.
No, it was onions.
Okay.
It was, onions, it was onions from a tuna sandwich. There was Got too it. Many onions they put on it, drop ceiling, I threw them up there, let someone else deal with the stink and find them later, because I am a petty child. I think right. Brady acted like a petty child
I
at the end.
I respect that.
And I respect it. I know where he's coming from. You half-ass it. Oh, you're going to try to put this incentive-laden crap contract in front of me, and you're going to bench Butler when I just won the MVP, and the only reason we competed as a team in this game against the Eagles is simply because of me, and you put this contract in front of me, and you bench Butler in this game? F off. I'm going to half-ass it here for the rest of my time here unless you change your attitude. Bill didn't. And so you got Spite Tom, or half-ass Tom, and now you have Spite Tom, who's reinvigorated again. And if there is a football season, and hopefully that there is, I think he is going to ball out. I think he's going to be so good this year. And I also think you're going to get the best out of Belichick, too. And that's going to be a competitive team with not a lot of talent, at least offensively. I mean, they're going to start a quarterback with Stidham, who they do think has upside and potential, or Suckbag Hoyer. They're still going to be a competitive team, and they'll be above 500. So it's going to bring out the best of them. And I think it has worked out. It will work out for the best. But this thing with him practicing, I he's got to understand why there's some blowback here, and especially using that quote, like, the only thing to fear we have to fear is fear itself. You're essentially telling the world, Tom, like, if you're afraid of coronavirus, you're a puss.
Right.
Which
is completely ridiculous,
yeah.
and completely misses the mark. And again, Tom, the only reason people are criticizing you is because you yourself are broadcasting this. You're putting it out there. Why? All to sell me your $150 bag of nuts. All right? That's ultimately what it comes down to. And that's what I find really sleazy and really gross about this. And I'm with you, Jim. Like, I've been the card-carrying, you know, Tom Brady Bobo for the last 20 years. I'm Team Brady over Team Bill. Always have been. Always will be. Especially going back to 2 years ago with Malcolm Butler. That cemented me. Team Brady. Like, to me, it's Bill's fault that Tom Brady isn't here anymore. It's Bill's fault that Rob Gronkowski isn't here anymore. I get that those guys were changed, but Bill, it's your job as the coach to motivate your players.
Yeah.
Isn't that, like, your primary responsibility? So if you couldn't motivate Tom Brady, that's kind of on you. In many ways, that's on you. The fact that he's down there in Tampa working his ass off, he should be here in Foxborough working his ass off for you. And why you couldn't figure it out, you couldn't check your ego to keep Tom Brady, literally the greatest player in the history of the sport, around. And now he's doing this down in Tampa. Ugh. God, I don't even get me started. I still can't, Jim.
I will say, yeah, I accepted it. I wanted him to go. Wish he had more options. I was okay with, even when it was official and the Buccaneers' social media accounts were putting up photos of Tom Brady in those Bucs uniforms, I especially like the gunmetal gray one. I was like, okay. But when they showed the live video of it, McCarthy, even I was like, oh, that's gross. I used the analogy earlier in the week. It's like Kendall Jenner modeling for Sears. It just doesn't look right. Like, she's too hot. Why don't you're modeling mom jeans from Sears, like, just Brady in that uniform with the throwing motion, and he does the whole thing with, like, the rah, the let's effing go.
Oh,
like,
no, they just put it up on the side.
I can live with the
stills
that's
okay.
for some reason.
Yeah,
it's
that's
when they
right.
show the live video. It was kind of jarring. And it's going to be extremely jarring if and when that they do play, and he comes out there, and you actually get on the field, the rah, the let's effing go, and he's throwing past it to Rob Gronkowski and Mike Evans. It's such a low-rent organization, the Tampa Bay Bucks. I don't care if they won that one token Super Bowl that they have in 02. It's the lowest of the low in all of professional sports, let alone the NFL.
Running down towards the pirate ship and doing the West Oh, God.
Instead of the LFG, it's a yar.
Yeah.
Yar. 617-779-0985 is the phone number if you want to join us here on Agenda Free Friday. Our long commercial-free segment coming up next. Promise to get right to your calls here on Felger and Mass.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass on an agenda-free Friday. Felger and Mass presented by DraftKings here on 98.5, a Sports Hub, simulcast NBC Sports Boston. And let's go to Peter in Taunton, who wants to talk about calendar truthers. That was my opening take on how, Vince Carter, the NBA. The NBA also acknowledges he's the first player to retire in league history to have played in four decades, 90s, aughts, 10s, 20s.
Wrong.
Turns out there's calendar truthers like Matt McCarthy who say, well, actually, the 20s don't start until 2021. Oh, you people are the worst. Peter and Taunton, go ahead.
It's actually Brian, but how you doing, guys?
Oh, hi, Brian. Go ahead.
So, just to answer a question to the question, when a baby's born, we don't say he's 1 year old at the day of birth. It's a year after they've lived. So same thing with the world. And I also have a second point about Brady, if I can.
Go ahead.
With Brady, I just find it hypocritical in the sense that 2 years ago, I can't practice my family. What's best for my family? But he can practice during COVID-19. How is that best for his family?
Oh, and Peter, it's a great point. And that's because that was all a crock at the time. And this is what, as much of a Brady hawk as I am, I found it gross, Matt, that he could never own being the bad guy. And he was straight up asked by Jim Gray at that conference in Salem, Mass, three years ago, where it was like when there were you knew there were some squabbles going on behind the scenes, and he was asked, and I'm paraphrasing here, by Jim Gray, do you feel respected by Bill Belichick and the Patriots? And he says, I plead the fifth. You know that he wasn't happy here at the end. Just look how he acted. He half-assed it. He didn't show up for the OTAs. He wasn't what you used to get with Tom Brady. And he just couldn't own it. Like, everything was very passive-aggressive, even with the Tom versus Time thing. Like, what am I doing this for? Like, oh, just get to the point and say it. Like, he couldn't. He halved it the whole time, and that I found annoying. Like, it was so passive-aggressive. It's just like, dude, you got to be the bad guy here. Hold out. I would have respected it more if he held out a few years ago.
But that's not Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady is...
He's squeaky clean.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, just listen to the way he's talked to the media for 20 years. Very much having it. Very much not going all in. That would be... So against who Tom Brady is. But, I mean, that being said, Jim, I mean, there's really no defending the using the family as an excuse thing, because I've got a real problem with that. Like, how many people out there legitimately have to use their family as an excuse? Like, I mean, think about how many people who are going to be uncomfortable going back to work because they live with somebody who has a pre-existing condition. Like, that's a legitimate excuse. So when I think you just cheapen that, because I think that's one of the most important... I guess it's probably one of the most important excuses you could ever use in life is just, hey, I got to look out for my family here. That's totally legitimate. So when Tom Brady uses that, it just completely cheapens it. Like, you can't go to work for a few days in the summertime. Tom, you work 3.5 days a week. Okay, don't complain about being in the office when you've got people who, you know, of course, before COVID time, were probably getting on the commuter rail, spending 13 hours a day away from their family, doing 2 hours into the city, 2 hours out. You think they see their kids? Tom, you work 3.5 days a week. I'm sure you can figure it out. I just had a big problem with that from the beginning.
And for his calendar truther argument of the baby not being one until it's actually one. Well, you know, good. McCarthy, you cover the Revs. You're a soccer guy for the most part. What do they consider 0 to 59 seconds? What do they call that in soccer?
I'm going to plead the fifth on this, John.
Ah, okay. Yeah, no, that's the first minute. So, in other words, January of 1980 to December 1980, the first year, you see.
I'm just a casual soccer fan, Jim. Yeah. Don't you put that on me.
Bridge Over Troubled Water. Troubled Water by Simon and Garfunkel.
Great song.
Number one song on Billboard charts, 1970. As my parents always told me, though. But one of the biggest songs of the 1960s, Jim. You see, because to you calendar truthers, came out in 70, but still part of the 60s, because the 70s didn't start till 71. It completely boggles the mind. You people, I couldn't let it go. It's on me, too. Shame on me. I can't let that
go. No, definitely shame on you.
Let's go to Paul in Maine with a question on the best AFC quarterbacks. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. I bet you Kyrie's a calendar truther.
Without question.
No, yeah, you know, no, I'm ashamed to admit that.
I thought about driving in. There's no doubt in my mind that Kyrie Irving is a calendar truther.
Cheerleader. Yeah, so anyways, guys, the last quarterback to win at least 12 games in the AFC East was Peyton Manning with 13 in 1999 when the Colts were still in the old division. Mm. I know Felger has no problems taking a well-justified steaming dump on the QB play during the Brady era in this division, so this begs the question, which current AFC East quarterback do you guys think has the next best chance to reach 12 Ws?
We went through these, Paul, and thanks for the call again. We went through ranking the AFC East quarterbacks, and for me, if you're going to just do it simply on resume, well, the reality is the best quarterback right now in the AFC East is the backup with the Jets, and that's Joe Flacco. The guy actually did win a Super Bowl. Mock mm-hmm. that if you will, but I'm right. Behind him, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I know he runs hot and cold, but if you get Ryan Fitzpatrick on a hot streak, and I don't know, I like what Miami's doing there. They were certainly, I think, better than you down the stretch, last 8-9 games of the season. Same record, Miami, mm-hmm. but Miami better, proven, beat you week 17. Probably what Ryan Fitzpatrick. Probably, but upside, Sam Darnold, I don't know. You make a case for him.
I think Sam Darnold is the best actual quarterback in the division, but I don't think he's on the best team. In fact, I'd maybe argue he's on the worst team because I think, you know, the Dolphins are trending up. I think the point we should look at here, Jim, is that none of those teams are good. None of those teams are winning 12 games, whether or not, you know, let's say even Josh Allen has a good year. Like, that Bills team's still not winning 12 games. I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
So I think the point is the division is garbage. Ask me again in a few years. You know, let's see where the division stands, because let's say Jarrett Stidham is the real deal. And if he is the real deal, well, I could see the Patriots winning 12 games. Maybe not this year, but maybe next year. So, like, Jarrett Stidham could be the answer there. And you know me, Jim. I'm not exactly the world's biggest Jarrett Stidham fan or Jarrett Stidham supporter. You know, let's pump the brakes on that one. But if he's the real deal, the Patriots could win 12 games a year from now. Yeah, sure they could.
Yeah, and you could make that same case for Tua Tagovailoa right. with the Miami Dolphins within the next year or three, maybe. You know, I personally, if I was the Dolphins, I wouldn't let him even get on the field until midway right. through the season, if at all, this coming year, given his hip injury. Speaking of Jarrett Stidham, Gino in Weymouth with a thought on him. Go ahead, Gino.
Hey, guys. So I've heard a lot of people say that they wouldn't mind having Brian Hoyer at the starting quarterback position, including Felger, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't see the point in that, because you know what you're getting with Hoyer, and it's not very good. With Stidham, if he's good, you know you have your quarterback for the next couple of years or maybe 10 years. If he's bad, you know he either needs more time to develop or you just need to go back into the QB market next year. So why don't you just find out now if he's the guy rather than waiting, starting Stidham this year, and then finding out next year that Stidham might not be the guy?
Gino, I'm 100% with you. I mean, there's more upside and potential with Jarrett Stidham. You know what you're getting with Brian mm-hmm. Hoyer, who's a bum journeyman. And I get it. Like, he's a nice guy, and he tries, and he's like the consummate backup, but that's it. He's a backup. That's all he's ever going to be. He's now in his 30s. Like, you know what the ceiling is on Brian Hoyer. I hate to think that he would actually be the starting quarterback this year. Stidham, I like the unknown, and maybe he sucks, but get ahead of it early so you know, so you can go back and try to draft someone going forward.
Yeah, it's deeply concerning to me if Brian Hoyer is the starting quarterback on this team, Jim, because that tells you that Jarrett Stidham is not ready and probably isn't close to ready, because there is no reason to have Hoyer be your starting quarterback unless you feel that putting Stidham out there will irreparably damage him. I mean, because you might as well find out what you have, to the caller's point, and it's a good one. You got to put him out there to figure out what you have, because you know what? If you don't have anything, you need to figure out something quick and fast, and you need to go back into the draft next year or do something else. So the only reason that Stidham doesn't start is if he truly is not ready, which just then goes back to the point, why did you let Tom Brady walk? If the kid wasn't even ready, the kid better be ready. I mean, for this team, he better be ready to go.
All right, I want to get your thoughts on the Bubba Wallace story from this week, McCarthy, because I haven't seen you in a little while. And more of your phone calls here on an agenda-free Friday, 617-779-0985. Hang with us. No commercials here, just the update from McCarthy. And back after this here on an agenda-free Friday on Felger and Mass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.